this morning, and we'll start off with a word of prayer. Father, we thank and praise you for this beautiful day that you've given to us here, and for the greatness of, that you give to us, Father, and just for the giving us the breath of life that we can be alive here today, Father, to just have this day that's set aside where we worship you, where we get into your word, where we have a day of rest, and just all the things that you have set up for us there, Father. And we need to learn to take advantage of some of these things here, Father, that you do have set up for us. We follow so much of the world here, Father, and we just need to follow after you, Lord, more and more each day. And we just ask that you would just teach us these things. Now, as we're going through the things of the family there, Father, we just ask you would just help us to be wise about the different aspects of it, and be wise about the things here, Father, that we need their Lord to train the children in the way they should go. And we just hold that before you and ask for your help. We ask for your help today, for your guidance, that your Spirit would just take full control, your Spirit would just help us, and he would guide and direct us. We thank and praise you for it all now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we're going through the children here and your child's development and some of the structure of the family that we just started here. There's lots more to get going about. Well, we're talking about family values, and many families have different values. And I just had come up with some here that some different people had, and we're just going over this. I guess before I start here, I better read this here. You ladies will like this. Husbands are the best people to share secrets with. They will never tell anyone because they are never listening. You get accused of that. Men, you get accused of that, and don't tell me you don't, because I do all the time. So, okay, so some of the family values here that we come up with, and some of them there that I written down was husbands or worship only God, respect all people, be humble, be honest, live a moral life, be generous with time and money, practice what you preach, don't be a hypocrite, don't be self-righteous, and the next one here where we're going to start here today is don't hold a grudge. You know, children pick that up whenever they see holding grudges. And, you know, children themselves even hold grudges. And it's something that you is a good family value is not to hold a grudge against any family member or anyone themselves. Got to get these out. Matthew, let's see. Matthew 5:38-40 says, "Ye have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if a man will sue thee at the law and take thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee with a goemal, go with him twain." So he says here, you know, that an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. You hear these here people saying today now, you know, turn the other cheek. Well, I only have two cheeks, they say, you know. So, you know, it's just something that the devil's thought up of here, you know, that he uses people to say these things. But, you know, don't hold a grudge. Gentlemen, don't hold a grudge against your wife. Wife, don't hold a grudge against your husband. Let me see here. He also says here in verse 43, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." So, you know, don't hold a grudge. Don't seek revenge or anything like that there in family, especially family lies, you know, and things like that. I know a lady that said that her and her husband, if they have any kind of an argument, the Bible says, I can't think of the verse right now, but it says about don't let your wrath go down. Yes. So, and she says, we always will make up before the rat, or you know, the sun goes down, because the, which is a good thing, you know, that is a good thing, you know, some hold grudges and things like that there, and it's something that, you know, that it is a family value that we should do. So don't hold a grudge and don't seek revenge. The next one here, the last one that I have, is forgive others. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15 says, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So forgiveness. Forgiveness is something that's good to teach. God's merciful and forgives our sins and our failings. He forgave us, so you know we should forgive one another. It's just something teaching a family value that you should have, you know, of forgiveness. That's something that, you know, that's a very good teaching lesson for your kids, you know, a value to have, you know, forgiving. Forgiveness is something that they need to learn, you know. So, you know, and if you're teaching them, you're saved and you're teaching them these things, you know, that forgiveness is something you need to teach them about God, how he forgives, how he's merciful, how he's grace. His grace and mercy and everything that he has, you know. So forgive others. So I'm sure you have your own family values. These are just some that I wrote down here that we have. Every family has family values, and you know they're different, you know. But that's just some there that was just 10 of them there that you could go with. So family values. What is important to parents? You know. What is important to you as a parent of bringing up your children? You know, what's important? What is worth a fuss and what passes without notice? You know, what is worth a fuss? You know, you sit down and think about it, you know. Yeah, sometimes you get upset and things like that and you fuss over something that your children have done, but is it worth it? Is it worth the fuss? My wife and I, we kind of think it's funny a lot of times with grandkids now. Now, our kids will tell us, "You never left us do that, Mom and Dad." But, you know, it is funny, you know, and so there's some things that, you know, maybe that our kids will fuss about, you know, to us about we didn't let them go, but then we let our grandkids go and let our grandkids do it. I just thinking of some things here, you know, even my kids themselves, you know, there was just some things, you know, what was the sense in fussing over it? Some things got a little dangerous, and my wife, she just got a little upset, but, you know, it was just some of them things, you know, where, hey, I didn't fuss over it. One time, an incident, Chad and Nathan, they had the four-wheeler out in the snow, and I think Nathan had a pair of old skis that was given to him, so they hooked a rope behind it, and he was pulling them around the field and the yard and stuff like that. Well, he came around the one time, and Nathan was swinging out and just about clipped the porch, and we were standing there at the window watching, and my wife started fussing about it, and I started laughing about it because it would have been a good lesson if he'd hit the porch, you know. But, you know, was it worth the fuss? No. You know, to me it wasn't. You know, to her it was. You know, it was dangerous. So big deal, you know. What's worth the fuss over it? You know, your kids are going to do things, you know, and, you know, why fuss over it? You know, why fuss over it? Because, you know, a lot of times it's funny, to be honest with you. You know, today with my grandkids, it's funny. They just, you know, there's just some things that they do that their parents would fuss over that her and I, you know, we just kind of laugh about it. But anyhow, you know, what's worth the fuss over? What passes without notice? So, number two here, are people more important than things? Are people more important than things? I work on cars. And, you know, there's times where people have accidents and they bring their cars to me. They could care less if the person that was driving it got hurt more. They value that car more than that person. And I tell them, I say to them, you know, was the person hurt in it? Well, no, not really. What's the big deal then? You know, the car can be fixed. The life, if it's taken, can't be fixed. You see. What is more important? You know, are people more important than things? Things themselves. And we see this. We see this all around us. You know, I'm sure there's some things going through your minds that you can think of, you know, that you saw people do and things like that. But, you know, are people more important than these things that we have out here today? You know, it's unreal. Number three, do parents get more stressed over a hole in the school pants or a fight between schoolmates? Now, a lot of you here that's in here today that have children, you're homeschooling. What do you get upset about? You know, hey, listen, they're gonna fight amongst one another. Definitely. Do you get more stressed out over that or something else? You know, be careful about these things. You know, have some family values, you know. Don't get stressed out over everything. There's things I understand that you can get stressed out over, but, you know, don't get stressed out over every little detail. You know, it's not worth it. It's not worth it in the end. Next one here. Are children to be seen and not heard in this home? Now, I'm sure that some of you would like to go with that thinking, you know, because they drive you crazy after a while. But, you know, you got to be careful about that, you know, too. You know, some of the things that I've read up on here already on some of the people that had big families, you know, and I understand what their philosophy was of raising these children, because they would make the older children take care of the younger children and stuff. But some of them had this philosophy, you know. It was better that the children weren't seen than heard. And I don't like that. I don't like that at all, you know. Children are children. Let children be children, you know. Some of these big families like that, where children have to start right away, the older children helping to take care of the younger children, you know. Yeah, you're teaching them some things, but yet let them be children. So, you know, that's another thing, you know, that some family values here, you know, that you need to be careful about and that you have to watch. The next thing here, what are the spoken and unspoken rules of the family? Don't expect your children to know what you're thinking or what the things are if you don't tell them. I work for an outfit. I mean, this outfit that I work for, they expect you to know everything and don't tell you nothing. I never seen the beat. They just tell you, go out here and do this. Oh, yeah? Well, what do you want done? How do you want it done? Et cetera, et cetera. You know, and I just look at them, I think, and shake my head. You're dumber than a stick. You know, that to expect me to go out there to do something that, you know, that I don't even know nothing about. And to do it. It's crazy. And so, you know, the same thing applies in the family, you know. If you have rules, tell your kids what the rules are. You older people, I'm sure you told your kids what the rules were. Here's some of my rules. You didn't expect them to know all the rules and regulations that you had in the family. So, you know, you had to tell them. So tell them. The next one here, where does God fit into the family? A lot of times people say, you know, that they're Christians, you know, and we have this, we have Bible study, we do this, we do that. But does God fit into the family? Or is it just the normal routine, the normal worldly things that we do, you know? We follow after the world and things like that. Does God fit into the family? Is the next one here, which goes right along with this, is life organized around knowing and loving God, or is the family in a different orbit than that? Does the family, you know, love God? Is everything organized around God? You know, is everything organized around the Bible? You know, the Bible itself. This is our faith. This is what we believe. So why not teach it then to them? You know, this is the thing. We need to teach this to them. Teach this word of God to them. Yes, bigger families, it takes time. Yes, smaller families, it takes time. Because you got to take the time to do it. If you don't take the time to do it, I don't care if big or small family, you know, there's nothing organized around it. Nothing at all. Nothing at all. So, you know, some of the different things here that we have that we see, that with some family values here, you know, that we need to be careful about, and we need to, you know, to watch over. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophies which depend on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than Christ. Colossians 2, verse 8 says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the remnants of the world, and not after Christ." Be careful about these philosophies that's out here, some that are hollow and deceptive, you know. And they depend upon this human tradition. Now, what I'm about to say is I'll be getting a golden spoon again, because I'm good at getting golden spoons. But the traditions of men, you know, these traditions, one of the traditions that's around this area is going on right now. Your fair. Now, am I against the fair? Well, if they shut it down, it wouldn't make me unhappy whatsoever. But it's just a tradition that families have. If you go talk to them, and I'll guarantee you, because I've heard it many times, you go talk to them people that are up there right now in that fair, that stay in them tents. My family has done this for 35 years. And so we still do it. It's just a tradition. Is there good things to it? Sure. You know, I can see where, you know, neighbors get together, yak and talk, you know, they miss one another, they talk and this and that stuff. But I see bad things that happen there too. Right now, this fair just started. It goes on for a week. But how much dope is being pushed around up there right now? How many kids will start taking dope because of this fair? How many young girls are going to come out of there pregnant? You see, there's everything's not so good there at this traditional family thing, you know, traditional family thing. And if families had any part in this, good families, this stuff wouldn't be happening. You see, if there was some wise families there, they wouldn't let their kids just go off and do just whatever they wanted to do. You know, whether they would like it or not, these kids need to be responsible to their parents. Children, obey your parents, for this is right in the Lord. It's biblical. Biblical. Yes, I know they don't like the biblical things, but, you know, it's just a tradition. Traditions that based on these philosophies, and a lot of it is vain deceit. You know, there's families that have family gatherings every year. No problems. I don't see nothing the matter with it, but it's just a tradition that they do. You see, there's traditions, and you have to watch these principles of it, because as it says here, that it's after the remnants of the world. You see, what happens, you know, at these family gatherings? They started it's called a Keller reunion. It was on my grandmother's side. Now they started this here family tradition, and they keep telling me about going to it. I ain't going to it. I know what goes on. I know the people that are there, you know, and you know they need to be saved. But they're not going to listen to you. They're not going to. I already know because I've already talked to them, some of them. And I'm not interested in it. It's just a family tradition that they've started now again. And I'm not interested. You know, it's just one of them things. It's a tradition. They got it every year. And just wait. I know what will happen. Be one big fight sometime, and then that'll be it. But you see, I'm not going to be involved in it. So what you have to, the question you must ask is this. Are the values of your home based on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, or on Christ? You know, what are your family values? You know, how do you want to raise your children? How do you want to raise your family? You know, what is the basis of this? So, I'll give you an example here. Recently, this guy that I'm getting this thing down here, a lot of these things through, which and then I add some of my own things to it. But he said that he recently asked a young lad of 10 years old. This child is just 10 years old. He says, what would get him into the most trouble? Breaking a vase or disobeying his parents' clear directive. Nate, what would get your kids in trouble there? Breaking that vase or a direct thing from you saying and they disobeyed you? Ben, what would get your kids in trouble? Pastor, what would be your thing here? See, Nate, what if that was a vase that was really valuable, you know, big bucks, and you bought it for your wife, and she just loved it. She got all kinds of flowers and stuff in it. Exactly. Exactly. That's why I asked you that. Exactly, you know. Breaking a vase, you know, and I understand, you know, that things get broke. My wife got upset over broken things all the time, you know. It was no thing. But this kid, you know, his parents' clear directive, you know, he disobeyed. You know, that would be my answer, the disobedience. But he said, without a moment of hesitation, he said it would be far worse to break a cherished vase. Now, this lad has learned the values of the home. He perceives an unbroken vase that says prize vases are greater concern to his parents than disobedient boys. Think of that philosophy. Think of that philosophy there. Is that a vain deceit? You see, so these values are based on hollow, deceptive philosophies. So you see that you have them values there that happen and take place. Go ahead.
There's also Pastor talked about dominion theology some months back. There's also some philosophies out there that when you analyze biblically, maybe there's some Bible involved in it, but it'll send you way off balance. Dominion theology, I think a lot of it has to do with Presbyterian slant to it and talking about large families. And so that appealed to us because we do, and we're struggling with things, obviously, like just those kind of things. And so we really read into some of that and bought some of it. And we had to give some of it back because it really comes down to what does the Scripture say? And it really threw us off balance in some areas. And for one instance is, well, the dominion of the man over the wife and over the children, and he's in charge. Well, the whole thing ends up in off balance where the husband and the wife aren't what they need to be together. And so we've seen that. And that's so deceptive because this guy's giving the Bible on, you know what I'm saying? But then he's not giving the other part either. So it's easy to be deceived in how do I want to put it? It's like, for me, it's like, wow, it's a higher level of deception and oh, well, this Bible. Well, is it?
Mm-hmm.
And it's tradition is based on what some guy thinks, not what this book says. And I'm serious. We got deceived by it, I believe, to an extent.
What do you mean, saying that, like, the husband dominates? Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah.
Well,
in
this particular situation, the men will use it to, they literally get away with murder.
Yeah.
And their wives are expected to cover up, and their whole lives are protecting and covering up their husband's sin.
Because he's the man.
Because he's you know.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. I've read some philosophies of different people already, you know. I had some books right now that I've read part of it, because after a while I get so upset I just can't finish reading it because of the philosophies that these people are saying about how you should raise your children.
But do they give you a Bible verse?
Oh, they give you the Bible. Oh, yeah, they give you Bible. But, you know, I hope that I'm wise enough to figure it out. Then that's probably why that I'm getting upset about it. Because, you know, some of the dumb stuff that they do, you know, it's all punishment. It's all punishment. It's all punishment. Punish, 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 punish. Punish the children. When do you build them up? Why do you want to tear them down and not build them up? You got to have the balance, like you were saying. The pastor was saying, you got to have a balance there. You know, if you're going to correct your children, then you know, build them up also. That's teaching them. That's using God's word, you know, to teach them, you know, to also build them up. You don't need to have them tore down all the time. It's just like the philosophy of a guy saying, you know, my dad just punched me and hit me around all the time just to make me tough so that when I grew up, I didn't have to take it from people. Now, isn't that, that's an idiot. I'm sorry. I hate to say that word, but he's an idiot for even thinking or even, I wouldn't even tell people that. You know, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard of. You know, that's what I say. You have to be careful about these philosophies. Be careful of what you read. Be careful of what you hear. You know, if you got questions about it, right there should be the thing that comes up to you. Whoa, I'm going to God's word and I'm going to see exactly what it says. You know, check it out. That's why we're to study our Bible. That's why we're to study, to make ourselves a workman, worthily dividing the word of truth. You know. And we need to do that. And it also goes along with the family values here that we're talking about. So, any other questions or comments? Anything adding that you wanted to go to? Go ahead.
I've noticed in our home, we as parents, we always see what the kids do wrong. And often we don't tell them what they're doing right. And when we make an effort to tell them what they do right, they do more and more right. It's so much more effective than even the discipline. Not that you don't need the discipline and telling them what they're doing wrong, but you have to tell them what they're doing right. And they can do 10 things right and one thing wrong, and I'll say the one thing they did wrong. And I think it's very important that we tell them the other 9 things they did right.
Mm-hmm. Back in junior church, I see there's a growth in a person back there, and they had given us, you know, problems. They've been giving us problems, but something's happening. Somebody must be starting to do something right. I'm not going to say who or what or anything like that there. It could be a girl, it could be a boy, but anyhow, I see some things there, a change, it's starting to change. So I know that it's a child that gets in trouble a lot, but this child, I think somebody's starting to pick it up and brag them up a little bit. And they just are, just this last week that we had them in there, I took notice that, wow, not going, carrying on the way they did, you know. And it's good. It's a good thing, what they're doing. So, you know, whatever it is, I don't know what it is, but, you know, something's going on there with that child. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, with Joanna, we had been dealing with her and banging our heads against the wall with her. And some of this, what Nate said, really impressed me. And I was noticing that she had kind of become the one in our house that, you know, we'd say, you know, she's the, you know. And it really bothered me. And so, and Pastor preached on it once. And actually, I was, like, extremely convicted when he said about saying that the children, you know, just putting a tag on them. Because they'll fulfill it. They'll try to live up to that. And so we have been trying to really encourage Joy in the things that she does right, which was a trial at first. And but just we've noticed little bits of hope and with her and in that area and what Nate was saying.
Mm-hmm. Buddy.
I don't want to change the subject, but you had said something that I don't sort of struck a nerve with me. And like if your child disobeys or if they break something. I just want to look at the other end of the scope and just kind of maybe just share an opinion, but get shed a little light on the opposite side.
That's the idea. Sure, that's the idea,
okay,
of this.
And I guess this would be a question for everybody. I don't really know what the answer is, but I think we need to teach our children to respect the things in our home.
A family value.
Mm-hmm. But when they go into
mm-hmm.
other people's homes,
mm-hmm.
they will have that. And I noticed when, you know, we were raising our children, it seems like the things that got broken in our home were when other people came into our home. And the parent would say, oh, I hope you weren't really attached to that. And that's not the point. The point for me was teaching the child a value that when they go in, you teach in your home that, you know, these are things that God has given to us and blessed us. We need to take and not just, you know, it's okay. That's just kind of my opinion. I just feel kind of convicted about that we should train our children to respect the things that God has given us. Even our church here and the things that he's blessed us with, we need to take care of them because he's given them to us.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be good stewards of what God has given to us so that when they go out into the world and they're in somebody else's home, they've been trained to, well, this is this person's home, and we need to respect
that. Right.
So I'm just kind of shedding a little bit of light on the opposite end. Not that that is more important than you know, a child disobeying. I'm not comparing the two. I'm just kind of shedding some light on the opposite end.
Mm-hmm. No, that's good. You know, all this was just a point to show here, you know, what these parents, you know, valued more than the disobedient kids. And I agree with you 100%. I think my wife would definitely agree with you 100% because that's something that we even teach the grandkids, you know, when they come to our place, you know, and stuff. Now, I think my daughter calls it purdy. Is that what she calls the stuff? Don't touch it. It's a purdy. Well, anyhow, that's what she, you know, that's what she's taught. That's what she taught hers. And now, whenever Mason don't do it as much as what Gage will, but Gage will go to something and she goes, whoop, 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 that's a pretty, don't you touch that, you know? And now the granddaughter, she's starting to move around a lot more, so she's the next one that's going to be taught, you know, don't touch this and that, those kind of things. I agree with you 100%. You need to teach your children to have respect for your stuff, so that they have respect for somebody else's stuff, like you say, when they go someplace, too.
My mom, we were taught, my mother was big on this, and I know some of my kids maybe didn't even agree on this, but when my kids were little, I did not put anything up. were taught, you don't touch it. And then that way, when we did go out to other people's homes, like Lenny said, we knew not to touch. And some people think that's harsh, but when you keep picking stuff up and putting them away, the kids aren't learning that. And I know a lot of people don't agree with that, but it was the way I brought my kids up. And my kids learned to value other people's things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've lost that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that's a good thing. It's a good thing that you brought that up, because it's not, you know, there's nothing bad about that whatsoever. That is a good thing. That is something good to do, you know, to teach your children, you know, those values. You know, you have that value in your home, you know, so that when you go to somebody else's home, that you value their stuff too. So that's a good value, you know, to do. Anything else? Okay. So there's other aspects of family values. Number one here, what are the boundaries within the family? What are the boundaries? How does things work out here with the boundaries that are within the family? Mark chapter 3, verses 31 to 35. Mark chapter 3, verses 31 to 35 says, "Then came his brethren and his mother, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him. And the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. And he answered them, saying, Who is my mother, or who is my brother?" Does it sound a little like Jesus is disrespecting his mother and family at that particular time? What do you think? Right. You know better than that. Some outsider would read that and say, oh, he's disrespectful. And you say he never sinned. He's not disrespectful.
He's putting greater value over the children of God than he is your own family.
Read on. "And he took round about them, on them, which sat about him, and said, Behold, my mother and my brother." Everybody around him. Just what you said, you know. God's family is open and doesn't exclude anybody. It's open. It's anybody. It's anyone out here. That's what Jesus was trying to say here. Everybody's of a value to him. It's not that he didn't love his mother or his brethren. He loved them. But he has this value that all people were his mother and his brethren. Everybody was. He had that same love for those people out there as he did for his mother and his brother. You know. "For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother." You see. He wasn't disobeying whatsoever. He was showing them that everyone, you know, he loved them all. He loved them all. You know, it was the same thing. And that's what he came for. You know, that's why he came. He shows them these things. So a family value he had there. Go to Luke chapter 2, another one here. Luke chapter 2, verses 41, starting at verse 41. You know the account, but I'm going to read it to you here anyhow. It says, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover." Sounds a little like a tradition, doesn't it? Which it was. Because it says in verse 42, "And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. All the males were supposed to go three times a year to different events that took place, and this was one of them." This was one of them, that they had to go it was a fulfillment of the Passover, of the Feast of the Passover, you know, that they celebrated that Passover where God had killed all the firstborn in Egypt and saved all their children, you see. That was the whole idea of this aspect. They went, so they would go to Jerusalem after this custom. And it says here that he was 12 years old at this particular time. It says, and when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. Now, here he is. He's 12 years old. I mean, he's at the stage of his life where, you know, they didn't have to watch him and stuff as much. They were probably allowed, the children at that particular time were probably allowed to go here, go there, go everywhere, just like your children do, you know, at sometimes when you go to some of these things that you go to with families and things like that there. And he was allowed to do the same thing here. Now, it was a custom that whenever they would go in, let me read here this next verse and then I'll explain this to you. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolks and acquaintances. Now, it was a custom that when they would go someplace and leave, they would go by caravans because of robbers and stuff. People would travel together. The women and the children usually went ahead of the men. This was their custom. This is how they had it. At that particular time. So the age of Jesus at 12 years old, he could have been either with his mother or with his father, okay? He could have been in either of this caravan whatsoever, so he could have been. That was the thing here because of his age. And his mother thought that he was with his father thought that he was with his mother. But here they go and they look for him and he's not there. They can't find him, okay? Let's read on. So, and when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. So they look for him for 3 days, and they finally find him. What's he doing? He's in the temple, questioning these here so-called, they call them doctors, but they were these priests and whatever, you know, with all these philosophies and things. He was questioning them and listening to them talk. You know, he was there. And it says, and all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. He's 12 years old. They're astonished at his questions and his answers. They can't believe it, as if you want to say. But it says, and when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dwelt with us? Thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. They didn't know what happened to him. They were looking for him. It would be just like one of you panicking, you know, if something happened to one of your children. Just like your child running out into the woods, and you can't find them, and it's time to go to church. Like happened to somebody's family here recently. But anyhow, you know, they panicked at that particular time. And verse 49, and he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my father's business? Now see, they didn't understand. You know, they're thinking of his earthly father. They're not thinking of his heavenly father, where he came from. And because it says there in verse 50, and they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. They didn't understand it. They didn't understand what he was doing. They thought that he was being disobedient, you know, by not being with them or whatever. But it says, and he went down with them, and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man. At 12 years old, he's gaining favor with man and with his heavenly Father. You see, it's a value that is something that's good for a child. What if, say, Ben, you were out here, and little Ben, something happened to him. You were up here at Center Hall. No, you were down at Milheim. That's where I wanted to give this example. You were down at Milheim. You see, on Wednesday nights, we have these here old hippies that's down there, if you haven't been down there, and they hold these signs up. You know, they're at the corner, and they're going against war and all this and that stuff. You know, they've been doing that for quite a few years here now. But anyhow, what if you found Ben, young Ben, down there standing on the other side of the corner, street preaching? What would you do? You were looking all over for him, and here you do. You found him. Sorrow and happy, huh? At the same time. But see, that would be the same thing here as what happened here with Jesus, you know. Where's the boundaries of your family, you see? Where's these boundaries? Where's this family value, you know, these boundaries that you have, you know? Can they do something like that? Could Jesus do something like this at 12 years old and get away with it? Well, wasn't worrying about getting away with it. He was doing what he was supposed to be doing, what he came to do, you see. And it's a boundary, you know, that you have to watch your boundaries. What are the boundaries within the family, you know, of family values? Where does these boundaries come from? And what do you have set up with boundaries? How do you protect your children, you know, with boundaries? Do you not want them to be in the world at all so that when they get older, that all of a sudden, oh, I missed out on this. I want to try this. You see, it's a boundary that you had set up, but it could blow back into your face because of it. So be careful with your boundaries. I got to stop there. Questions or comments? Go ahead.
That's a tough one, you know, the boundaries with keeping your kids at home and in the world. That I struggle with that one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes I just think that's a tough one.
I understand that. I understand what you're talking and where you're coming from. Yes. There was things I didn't want my kids to do, but yet there was things that, you know, there was times where, I left them go with some of their friends, you know. Didn't know what was going on, but I knew it was a Christian family, so I was hoping that that Christian family had the values like I had a little bit anyhow, you know, that they wouldn't let them get in trouble and stuff. And we would tell them, you know, you can correct my child just the same as you correct your own children, you know, if he does something, or if either one of them, they do something dumb, you know, you can correct them. So, you know, right, I understand. Anybody else? Okay, Father, we thank you for this time, for this day. We thank you for the different aspects here, Lord, of the family values and things that we're learning about. And we just ask now that you would just teach us some of these different aspects of it. Every family has their different things there, Father. And, Lord, I just hope that we all just learn to take them from your word. And then, Lord, we know that we're doing the right things. We'll thank and praise you for just all things now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.